Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. This gospel passage speaks words of God's peace spoken by Jesus to his disciples, but really spoken to each and every one of us as well. All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are the words of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. As we think about these words from God for us this day, and we are mindful of the ways in which all of us come into this place with different experiences, some similar and some very different. Some of us may come in with some stuff that's troubling us. Some of us may feel unsettled. Some of us may feel anxious. Some of us may come in with joy, and we're here to celebrate. Into each of our life circumstances, whatever it is that you are encountering right now, God desires for you to experience that peace that only God can give, that the world does not give, that peace that passes all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the one who not only brings us the gift of salvation, but offers us the gift of peace here on earth. It's in that context that we worship this day, and so would you join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we know that all of us, each and every one, come from a very different context today. Some of those contexts will be very, very similar, and we'll have similar things that we've encountered recently. And some of those things will be very unique to each one of us. And so whatever it is that we have encountered, whatever is the context in which we engage in worship today, we pray that your word, your music, your message would reach deep into our hearts in order that it might be well with our souls. In your name we pray. Amen. That hymn, that song, "When Peace Like a River," or otherwise known as "It Is Well With My Soul," is one that not only causes my soul to sing, but that is a song, a hymn that for a very long time has soothed my soul. It's a hymn through which God has spoken to me, and I believe to many of you, in ways that brings a kind of peace, a kind of calm that is unparalleled by what the world can deliver. It speaks of God's peace that passes understanding. It speaks of the kind of peace that God desires for each of us. And I don't know how many of you know the background to that story, but what makes that story, that song, that hymn, all the more meaningful, all the more significant, all the more rich for me is knowing the background of that story. That song, the lyrics of that song, were written by Horatio Spafford. He was from right here in Chicago, way back in the 1800s. In fact, back in the 1800s, the late 1800s, he was a Presbyterian layman who was a very, very successful businessman here in Chicago. Not only that, but he was a devout Christian. He had many evangelists who were friends of his, including Dwight Moody, who was a dear friend of his. He had a very successful legal practice, and he had invested his monies along the shore of Lake Michigan in a way in which he had made a lot of money. However, in the year 1871, all of his businesses were wiped out in one night by the Great Chicago Fire. He lost all of his earthly possessions. What made that episode in his life reminiscent of the experience of Job is that just prior to that, his one and only son had died. And so, after that period of time, desiring rest for his wife and his four daughters, he desired to join Dwight Moody, over in England as he was doing some evangelism work over in Great Britain. And the whole family had desired to go and to spend some time away. And so they were going to go as a family. Spafford, his wife, their four daughters. They made reservations to go, but just before the ship left, he had a business engagement that came up suddenly and demanded his attention. And so he stayed behind, planning to join them in just a couple of days. It was on November 22nd of that year that as that ship was crossing the ocean, an English vessel struck that ship, and the ship in which they were on sunk in just 12 minutes. The wife somehow escaped and survived, but all four of the daughters drowned. Once Mrs. Spafford reached Wales, she telegraphed a message back to her husband, "Saved alone." That was the message he received. Spafford immediately got on the next vessel going to England, actually to Wales, so that he could join his wife. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," "When Peace Like a River," was composed by Spafford as they journeyed, and the words to the verses we have just sung, according to history, were composed in about the spot that they determined the ship carrying his daughters had sunk. In that context, hear the words of the first verse that you sang together one more time. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Spafford and his wife had a daughter a couple of years after that tragedy. They then had a son, and that son died from scarlet fever just a short time later. They had another daughter, and then because of the work in which he was engaged, both he and his wife desired to go to Jerusalem. They were captivated by the Holy Land, and they felt that that might be the place that God was calling them. They went to the Holy Land, and there they established the American colony. It was a Christian utopian society engaged in philanthropic activities among the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians way back in the 1800s. And their goal was to bring peace. After many decades, that colony ceased to exist. But in the 1950s, they began work establishing the American Colony Hotel. And they continued their work there. And that hotel became the site of the first talks between the Palestinians and Israel that eventually led to the 1983 Oslo Peace Accord. So all of those things that happened in the life of Spafford, the one who composed that hymn, brought eventually, because of his deep-rooted faith in God, peace to his own soul and desire to bring peace to the world. God used him oh so well. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Only God knows the lot that you have in life, and I know from experience that many of you have experienced very, very difficult things in life. I, for one, receive great comfort and inspiration from Spafford, who composed those words inspired, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It was the Apostle Paul who, writing in his letters in the New Testament, wrote these words, I have learned in plenty and in want to be content when my soul is right with Christ Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, facing turmoil in his life, speaks these words of assurance that N has read for us today. These words in which he was both mentoring and coaching and leading his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Those words come at the end of chapter 14 of John, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. Do you remember how chapter 14 begins? If you've been to a funeral recently, I'm sure you do. It begins by Jesus saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Words of assurance and comfort and peace. And throughout that whole chapter of John 14, a great chapter to use as your devotional text this week, God speaks of peace. God speaks of purpose. God speaks in ways that speak to all of our situations in life. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I need to use mnemonic devices to remember things. Mnemonic devices are memory tools, and I use them to remember names, and I use them to remember a lot of things, and I know you do too. For example, you can tell me that I before E, except after C, right? And you can tell me leaves of three, leave them be. Yeah, right, because poison ivy has, okay, so we know that. One acrostic that we have used here at Good Shepherd a lot has been ego, right? How to put our ego in check, and we do it this way. Ego, we remember it by this acrostic, edging God out or exalting God only. That keeps our ego in check. So today, I want to engage you in an acrostic activity. It's a mnemonic device of your creating. I'm going to put you to work here a little bit. In your prayer and action guide, you have a section that's called the sermon notes section. It's got scriptures there that are listed. And I would like for you to develop your own acrostic. I'll have some suggestions for you, but I want you to develop your own acrostic. If you were to remember the word peace and the kind of biblical instructions that God gives us regarding peace, what word or phrase would you fill in to complete the blank or finish it? What would be a good memory word for you that brings peace? And I'll let you create your own. It's not obligatory. I'll tell you this. This is going to be a pass-fail exercise, and I'll tell you right now, you're all going to pass. So let's take the tension out of this, okay? What word would you use for peace? I'll give you my suggestion. There's lots of good words for P. For the P word, I would use pause. I'd use pause, or I'd use ponder. Now, you can use prayer, and you can use praise, and you can use a lot of good words, but I'm going to go with pause or ponder, because doesn't the Bible tell us in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God? And the purpose of that verse is to bring peace, assurance. Didn't Jesus, when he was mentoring his disciples, didn't he go away from his ministry activities for prayer? Good P word too. And he did that to pause, to ponder. There are lots of other ministry activities, but he did that intentionally to bring peace. What word would you use or phrase would you use for E? Probably a lot of good ones that could be used. I'm going to suggest the word exhale. Doesn't the Bible tell us, let everything that breathes praise the Lord? Let everything that breathes. So I'm going to use the word exhale. You can use whatever word you want. It's your acrostic, however you can remember peace. Exhale, for me, we have used spiritual exercises involving breathing to bring peace. In our Faith Incubators confirmation program, we used to use a spiritual breathing where we would breathe in. We'd breathe in as we heard God's word and as we prayed. We'd breathe out, letting go of all those things that we needed to let go of. And we do that repeatedly. Breathe out, let go, breathe in God's good stuff. So exhale. What would you use for A? What would be your acrostic? What words? I'm going to suggest two words for that one. The words I'm going to suggest, and you can use your own, the words I'm going to suggest would be after a while. When God brings peace, he doesn't always bring it simultaneously. He doesn't bring it all at once. Sometimes God is God. God can do it that way. But sometimes peace, real peace, lasting peace, takes a while. Sometimes it comes after a while. It happened that way a lot of times for the disciples. They didn't experience peace until after a while. And one of my favorite after a while passages, and one of my favorite passages of scripture, is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And this talks about after a while. Listen to these words. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until, in other words, after a while, until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed to you at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now you may suffer various kinds of griefs and trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not now see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God tells us that all of our life experiences happen so that after a while, we might fully appreciate and experience the richness of God's salvation. So what C word would you use? I think the obvious one would be Christ. God gives us peace and he keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, doesn't he? And then E, I think a great way to finish would be eternally, wouldn't it? The peace that God brings is meant eternally. So as we experience God's peace today, I hope that you take times to pause and to ponder what God has done and is doing and will do. I hope you have moments where you can exhale. Let go of the things you need to let go of and breathe in God's peace. I hope that after a while you begin to experience the peace that only God can bring. I hope that that peace is centered on Christ and that you'll know that peace eternally. Jesus says these words are spoken by God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what does that kind of peace look like? Might it look something like this?
A truck driver will head to jail next week to begin a 180-day sentence for a horrific distracted driving crash that killed a Minnesota couple and their three children. Now you're probably thinking, that's a short sentence. And it is, but there's a reason behind it. Care 11's Kenter et al. Has a story of faith and forgiveness.
My name is Cedric Pals. I am the father of Jameson Pals.
Nearly 2 years after the crash that killed his son, daughter-in-law, and three grandkids, Rick Pals and his wife still struggle.
I struggle to find the words that describe the grief that gripped me.
The Minnesota family's journey to missionary training in Colorado was cut short in Nebraska when a semi-truck slammed into them from behind, igniting a fire.
There were no survivors.
Rick still struggles to read the victim impact statement he wrote to the man responsible, semi-driver Tony Weekly, but he didn't struggle with his message.
I know how much God has forgiven me. How can I not forgive you?
Rick delivered that message in court on Friday, asking the judge for leniency, and he wasn't alone.
We asked the court will give the maximum allowable grace.
Gordy and Nancy Engel, Catherine Powell's parents, also wrote a letter asking for mercy.
You know, we've had people say, well, you have to be super Christians. No, it's not about us being, we're just plain people. But we have a super God that just lifted us up through that.
That is how we can walk this path, because we have hope.
Everybody makes mistakes, and he didn't start out that day planning on killing her children.
And so instead of 5 to 9 years in prison, the judge gave Weekly 2 years probation and 180 days in jail. And after, the Pals gave him a hug.
I was kind of worried. I thought, well, maybe when I see him, I won't be so forgiving. But, you know, it was just the opposite. It instilled in me more of a desire to be at peace with him.
I'll leave you with those three words: forgiveness, mercy, hope.
That photo between the Pals and Tony Weekly and his wife you just saw there certainly says a lot. And during that time after the sentencing, they say he also told them how sorry he was for the crash and said he prays for all the families impacted every day. Now, it's worth noting that the Pals' words meant a lot to the judge. The prosecutor and first responders all advocated for a longer sentence. Randy.
Boy, amazing story. All right. Thank you, Kent.
What an amazing story of grace and peace. Shay and I are pretty proud of that investigative reporter. His name is Kent Erdahl. He's our nephew. He's a journalist in Minnesota, and he uses his role to bring stories of faith and forgiveness and peace to the world. And what a great platform on which to do it. So some of you are aware that I love to play softball. We were getting ready for a tournament recently, and one of the ball players on our team happens to be African American, and Daryl has become a great friend these last couple of years. Really love playing ball, softball with him. Came up to me, and as we're getting ready, he said, "Hey, Gary, I need to let you know." He calls me the Rev. They know I'm a pastor. They call me the Rev. Anyway, he says, "Hey, Rev, got to tell you, I'm a new person." I said, "What?" I'm a new person. I've been reborn spiritually. I said, "Well, tell me about that. What's going on?" He said, "You know, Rev," he said, "I've had a lot of angst inside. I've had a lot of stuff that's been building up, but God's been working on me." This is a guy that I've had the privilege of praying with and talking with over the course of the last couple of years. And he said, "Yeah, God's been working on me, and I needed it. I really did. And one day I woke up, and I was a new person. By God's grace, God's forgiveness, I let go of all that stuff." And I said, "Wow," I said, "that's incredible." I said, what does that look like for you? How?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what it looks like." He said, "It looks like this. You see that guy over there is a guy from a different team. They were getting ready to play." He said, "Last year, he called me the N-word. It's not a nice word. He called me that. And boy, I tell you, that really didn't sit right with me. And I've been kind of harboring that for a long time. But today when I saw him, I went up to him. And I said, 'Hi, Steve.' And I gave him a big hug. And I said, 'I forgive you.' And he went on his way. And I said, 'Oh, my goodness, Daryl.' He said, 'I tell you, I've got peace like I haven't had before. I feel good.' If he still feels that way, that's his problem, not mine anymore. I've got peace." So about 25 years ago, Good Shepherd was going through a very challenging time in our history. Some might even call it a troubled time. It was just about I should say it was just at a time just such as that, that God decided 25 years ago to call a pastor by the name of Pastor Vic Brandt to come and serve as an interim pastor here at Good Shepherd. And Pastor Brandt had been gifted by God with a calm demeanor and with discerning wisdom. And he brought peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that kind of peace that passes understanding, that kind of peace that kept the people's hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus. And at just such a time as that, 25 or so years ago, God brought Pastor Vic Brandt to bring peace. This past week, Pastor Brandt passed into God's kingdom, and we have the details for his service that are going to be on August 11th in the Chicagoland area. But we thank God for that pastor that God called to bring peace. Once there was a Christian band named Switchfoot. I don't know if you've heard of them or not. But the lead singer of Switchfoot, his name is John Foreman, tells about how they were playing a concert once, and toward the end of the night, all the lights went out. They weren't finished yet, but all the lights went out. The microphones and the amplification system still worked, but all the lighting of the lighting console had totally crashed. He says, in that uncertain moment, something beautiful happened. The entire crowd began to light the stage with their cell phones. It was truly magic. A crowd of strangers knit together in a moment of pure spontaneous beauty, an unplanned instant of joy born out of chaos. He goes on to talk about how he struggles with chaos and control in his life. This incredible, brilliant flash of joy and transcendence had broken our plans, and something better was born from it. Foreman goes on to say that when the lights came back on, it was like waking up from a dream. The connected feeling disappeared. I joked that maybe we should turn those lights back off again. But you can't repeat a moment like that. The moment was gone, but the memory would never be forgotten. A song was crafted from chaos. Foreman went on to add, it is in this beautiful, terrible mystery of life where our story takes place. I dance with my daughter in my arms. Meanwhile, explosions are echoing in the streets of Palestine, and an earthquake erupts north of India, all at the same time. This is the messy canvas of our existence, the chaotic battlefield where our journeys take place. Foreman finishes by saying, in this terrifying middle ground between what I know and what I do not know is where life happens, where relationships rise and fall, where empires succeed or meet their demise. These are the deep waters, the glorious, terrible space between the mirage and the facts, between waking and the dream. This is where we live and where our songs are born. These are the episodes from which God can cause our souls to sing. Once there was a young woman named Mary, and an angel came to her with a message of peace, but she didn't hear it that way. When she was first told that she was to be the mother of the Messiah, the Bible tells us she was greatly terrified. That's kind of a nice way of saying she was scared out of her mind, because that would have been her earthly reaction. But God's Spirit overwhelmed her and brought peace. And the angel told her, do not be afraid. Once there was a disciple named Peter who spent considerable amount of time hanging out with a rabbi named Jesus, who was to be the Messiah, a Savior who was to bring peace. And Peter experienced that peace over and over again, even before his Savior died on the cross. Moments like when they were in a boat on the lake, and all of a sudden a sudden storm came up, and their rabbi was sleeping in the boat, and they were afraid they were going to die. And yet he calmed the storm, and he brought peace. Once there was a world that experienced all kinds of natural disasters, like wildfires out west and floods in the east and volcanoes in Hawaii and Guatemala and earthquakes and on and on. And God used a ministry called Lutheran Disaster Relief to bring aid and peace to troubled peoples in troubled times. And God has blessed Good Shepherd to be a part of that ministry for oh so many years. This past week, Lutheran Disaster Relief, because of their history of being so good at bringing peace and resources to troubled people in troubled times, was awarded a $7.3 million grant to continue the work of bringing resources and peace in restoring Texas in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. God bringing peace into the lives of troubled people at a troubled time. Once there was a church named Good Shepherd Lutheran in Naperville, Illinois. And they were challenged during the summer of 2018 to a summer of serving. In fact, the challenge was really quite specific, revealed as a 2020 challenge in order that we might have great vision. The 2020 challenge was to involve 2,020 people in serving people in order that they might experience God's grace and love and peace, people who were in need. The projects could be big or they could be small. The projects were designed to bring peace and love and mercy. Some of the projects were projects like a men's Bible study that meets on Wednesday morning, getting together and putting together blessing bags filled with on the outside, a wonderful Bible verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the hopes I have, plans I have for you, says the Lord. And on the inside, basics like water and energy bars and toothpaste and a toothbrush and toilet paper and some basic necessities to be given to homeless people downtown, because many of our Good Shepherdites see homeless people each and every day when they go to work downtown Chicago. Some of the projects, serving projects, were done through Feed My Starving Children, and they are continuing. Some of the projects are done through Rebuilding Together Aurora, and people are gathering to clean up backyards or work on homes of people who are underserved and people who are below the poverty line, in many cases, are disabled. And many of the projects are projects just simply to help a neighbor in a very special and significant way. And some of the servants were savvy and very smart servants who were spirit-filled during the summer of 2018, and they figured out how to do Thrivent Action Team projects, whereby every Thrivent member could receive a $250 grant per project, per Thrivent member, and those monies used to serve others in the summer of 2018. And so I wonder just how many smart, savvy servants who are spirit-filled does Good Shepherd have? Time will tell. And so will the hands that are being completed by those who have already served and find these hands out there where they can write down their story to inspire someone else, or who go online and share their story to inspire someone else to serve so that others might experience God's grace and God's peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 kind of peace. So what is your peace story? How is it that God is going to use you, not only as you have received peace, but in those ways you can bring God's peace to others? That peace that leads to praise. You've heard the Horatio Spafford story. In a moment, we'll sing verse 3 of that hymn he composed. Words that go like this: He lives, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise transformed by peace. That's what causes our souls to sing. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding, but comes into the context of our oftentimes very messy lives. In the chaos of our living, in the chaos of our world, we desperately need your peace. Your peace that goes beyond understanding. Your peace that keeps our hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the bringer of peace. In your name we pray. Amen.